This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everyone, Adam just dropping in real quick. As I keep mentioning in the recording, this was taped prior to the Bradley Beal trade, so everything we pretty much said is completely useless and wrong, and but that's what we do best, right? Get everything completely wrong. But yeah, Bradley Beal going to Phoenix, Chris Paul going to Washington, they might move him. I doubt it because nobody wants his guaranteed salary, which is what Chris Paul really wanted. He didn't want to, who wants to take a $15 million pay cut, pretty much. So he'll get his full year. He'll get either moved to the trade deadline or he'll be a cut at the right before the deadline, and he'll probably sign with Miami. That's what they all do, right? So, anyways, enjoy the episode. Sorry I was correct in saying it'll be outdated by the time it drops. You could thank all the gone fishins for that we had to slam in before the draft, which really snuck up upon us this year, even though it's the same time every year except for the COVID that one year. But anywho, enjoy.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. The NBA season is over. We can all go home now. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I've been home this whole time, so I can't really say much. Adam Hurry, co-host, have you been at your house for all the shows?
Yeah.
You don't do it mobily? You don't do it via satellite, maybe from your work or something?
No, I've been fairly stationary.
You make that sound like you ain't put any work in. You put a lot of work in. I mean, I'll give you some credit.
I don't. You had one episode where you were thrust outside your.
Yes. Hurricane Ida literally picked me up and threw me like in a body slam position. No, I had no electricity, so we had to do it through Skype mobile. But the results varied. It was weird.
Other than that, we just either take a week off or throw in a random Evergreen episode.
Well, I got good news for you. How about we take a month or two off? Not yet. I still got you for a couple more weeks.
Where our season is almost done, but unfortunately everything is crammed through, and because everything is crammed through, this is dropping literally on draft day, so everything we say will probably be outdated, and there'll be some crazy trades that happened and whatnot, but we'll get to that in the latter half. First, we need to...
Yeah, well, speaking of outdating, history has been made. The Denver Nuggets won the NBA championship. We didn't finish up on that one, so I guess we'll catch up on that.
So, yeah, they won, and nobody is really, like, haters. It's just, he doesn't deserve
it. It's their first one, and it's also a generally likable team. Nikola Jokic, from a personality standpoint, is pretty much a down player. You know, he doesn't really... He didn't really like throw his name into the hat from a media standpoint. He almost was to the point of being, he avoided the media. So some people saw him as like this lovable, like grumpy cat type of player as people started to get to know him. But the performance on the court was loud. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think his finals numbers were somewhere around like 30, 10, and 7. He won the finals MVP. Jamal Murray actually had more assists per game in the finals than Jokic, but Jokic was clearly the cog that made the whole thing go in that series against the Heat.
And that's what it was
a two-man game.
Well, for one, Jimmy just, he couldn't beat everybody himself. And
I was maybe we're putting too much into a Heat team that really did max it out. They did everything they possibly could to get to that point. But for Jimmy, I was kind of disappointed in the elimination game. He just wasn't aggressive enough.
He just didn't have anything left.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. But also, you had a whole bunch of people. I know, like, almost everybody's like, I didn't know Jokic was that good. Like, for years I could only say he's putting up stat lines that never existed.
You know why? Because they never actually watched him. They just look at the stats on the
We know he's there and yeah, whatever. But now everyone just watched like, oh no, they're good.
The whole offense revolves around him. Yes.
And it was just, you know, good to see an official team. They didn't go in and buy it and have this seven, you know, we need the big three superstars to do it.
No, and they did a couple of ancillary moves to help him out, getting Bruce Brown on MLE, getting KCP in a trade, getting Aaron Gordon in a pretty big trade a couple of years ago. They did things like that. But from within, yes, most of it was homegrown guys.
It wasn't, we need to get another big three. We need to get a superstar. We don't know if we'll fit. It was just patience. We're going to do it. The same thing with Miami we have our undrafted guys. We have our core people. So we just try to, everybody finds a piece. And it was good to see. It wasn't like,
let's Phoenix. Be clear. They were very patient. They had missed like a playoff run without Jamal Murray and an entire season without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Like, while Jokic was winning regular season MVPs and having early exits in the playoffs. So the idea that, like, oh man, they just came out of nowhere and caught lightning in a bottle. The Denver Nuggets have been good for 4 years. This was just the culmination.
Yeah, and it was last year where everyone was like, oh, this should be their year. They seem to be built for it. And then Golden State was just a juggernaut. Yeah. But no, this was just, it's sort of just a feel-good story that, you know, the ratings nobody watched it, but everyone's just like, oh, wow, we know who this guy is.
It wasn't as low as it could have been. I'll just put it that way. Talk about the TV ratings, because I know some people on different sides of the aisle like to kind of throw that back at the NBA. You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to marketplace. Warrior Lakers in the second round got like the biggest ratings they've had since like the late 90s. So it just comes down to marketplace. And when the Denver Nuggets play the Miami Heat, you're just not going to get a bigger share of the audience. That's all.
When you do that, and every game's at 8:30, 9 o'clock, it's just like,
because of the mountain time. Yeah.
Yeah, and then like nobody's staying up for this. It's times, you know, the traditional ratings obviously is obsolete, but just we'll just wrap it up saying good all around, good for Denver.
Amazing offense. The offense was really what got him going. And to be truthful, Adam, what I will remember about this Nuggets team, even though some people will feel like it was forgettable because it was a 4-1 win where the road team won three times, it didn't feel exciting. Other than Jokic, like claiming himself as a champion and stuff with a GOAT playoff run, but what I'll remember for the Nuggets is that in the they were 53-29 in the regular season. In the playoffs, they fucking smashed everybody. I mean, the only team that even tied them in a series at any point, other than the Heat in 1-1, was the Suns. The Suns, and they absolutely destroyed them in Game 6.
And they made it all look so easy.
Yes.
So it was just plain.
Murray is the opposite of Karl Towns. Karl Towns is amazing in the regular season and bad in the playoffs. Murray kind of floats around in the regular season, does okay. And then in the playoffs, he just like turns into a fucking sniper, man. Like, you can't stop him. Having Jokic there for your pick and rolls is great, but you also got to make the shots.
And he does, and then Aaron Gordon comes in with
big plays down the stretch. So did Bruce Brown. Yeah,
and you know Michael Porter was the no, yes.
Yeah, defensive plays, but offensively he struggled in the finals. Yes,
and KCP was an upgrade trade, and just little trades, and just funny. Thomas Bryant goes from the Lakers, who are completely dysfunctional, and wins a championship.
Yeah, we always have those dysfunctional ones on the tail end who like win a title, like DeAndre Jordan won a title, or gets a ring. What's another one? Ish Smith, who's been on 13 teams, he gets a ring. You know, I don't think he won a title with the other ones. I got to remember all 13.
No, this is his first ring.
This is the first one. And if like Vlatko Konkar, He finally did it. He did it for his countrymen, just like Jokic did. Christian Braun was a surprise. I wonder how good he'll really be down the road, but he wound up being valuable in certain moments, too, as a rookie.
He was, and you said it was, you're like, okay, oh, yeah, he'll go off. I'm like, he's not going to play, and he was, he did more than I think anybody had expected.
And Jeff Green will just live forever.
Old man Jeff Green just gets, but you know, good for them. So let's go into our gone fishings then with these final two teams.
Yeah, I want to, since we've been talking about the Nuggets, we could just hit on them first. So clearly, you know, when you're the champs, you want to stand pat. That's just the, you know, with Stan Kroenke, I believe, who still owns the team. That's just typical. There are some teams that just aren't designed that way, where they can retain everybody because they sort of push through for that 1 year and they pull it off and they get the big championship and then they got to break it all up. The thing for the Nuggets is that in terms of their nucleus, they're in really, really good shape. Jokic's new, like, richest contract in the league at this moment, contract starts, the Supermax, because he was MVP twice, 5 years, $272 million. That goes all the way into 2027 with a player option, so he's in the money. The rookie max that Jamal Murray signed way back in 2020, he's set, so he won't be a free agent until 2025. Michael Porter Jr.'s new deal's already started. I think that will be an albatross in the future.
Michael Porter Jr. is kind of already one because it was...
But he's still a good piece to that core, though. And they
he's a good piece. It was just one of those like, oh, we hope he stays healthy because this is just year one of this 5 year deal. So
they inked Aaron Gordon to a new contract a year ago. So he doesn't have a player option until 25. The one that's going to be people will be keeping an eye on because he might get big, big value if he opts out, which he likely will because it's only $7 million is Bruce Brown. So we'll see what happens there, because that was a taxpayer mid-level exception at $6 to $7 million a year. So he will very likely opt out of it.
Yeah, he will, and he'll get paid, and it'll be very hard for Denver to keep him because they're already on or over that second tax line. So
they're very close,
which is why they
because made, of Jokic's new deal,
which is why they made that very unorthodox. Let's do some draft trades today. Like in the middle of the playoffs, they get a first round pick next year, or a second round pick this year as well, just to because they know they're not going to have money for their people, and let's just get a cheap body in that we can use.
And remember too, right before the season started, they got a new, and we thought, why did they do that? But they signed KCP to like a 2 year, a 1+1. So starting with the next season, and then in 2024 he would have an opt out. So you got KCP there just in case. Ish Smith, Thomas Bryant, DeAndre Jordan, Reggie Jackson, who they got on, who they basically rented. They never had to break the glass on him because they were just so dominant in the playoffs, but they're all free agents. Some two-way guys, like they like Colin Gillespie, but he had a broken leg and he never played. Peyton Watson barely played, but I remember watching a podcast appearance with Paul George where he raved about Peyton Watson in workouts. So we'll see there. And Christian Braun, you know, played a lot in the finals. We'll see what he can do.
So I guess just kudos to Calvin.
Kudos to them, but I really am pretty sure they're going to lose Bruce Brown in the free agency.
They will, but they did it where they didn't have to blow everything up. They didn't panic. It was just, well, we know we're going to be good.
But you're also going to pay the tax now in perpetuity if you want to keep everybody together.
It's fine.
That's the
because you're the champion and they know it, so it's part
shout of out to Calvin Booth and shout out to Tim Connolly. I know he left for the Wolves, but he helped put that team together big time.
Now comes the curious case of the Miami Heat.
Let's give a shout out to them though. Like, they really worked their ass off to get to that point. You know, knocking out the Heat or the Bucks, I'm sorry. Then they go to the finals. They almost blow it, a 3-0 lead, but they don't. And then they got one on the Nuggets on the road in the finals. It's better than what the freaking Lakers did. You know?
They did, and they fell up, you know, they crapped out at the end. They had no energy, and there's you need somebody to step up, and it can't just be Jimmy Butler. Nobody did. But that notwithstanding, you have this team that is built on nobodies. They've been known for getting these undrafted free agents and just making them quite, they're always rumored to the big name.
They're valuable. Yeah.
They always, everybody wants to, Giannis is going to go there. Jokic will opt out of his Supermax. He'll go to Miami. Everyone wants to go to Miami. And they're always linked to the big names. And for some reason, every year they always don't do anything. And you always have this undrafted guy.
Yeah, it feels to me for Miami, like every 2 to 3 years, they take a stab at it. Like they in 2019, Wade retired. They had some room and they really went hard after Jimmy Butler in this free agency. And they got him and it really worked out well for them. They were able to get Kyle Lowry with a hard cap and do all that. They're still in the fold, even though Lowry's last year at $30 million is coming up this coming season. Adebayo is locked in on a rookie max. There is a possibility that if he makes all NBA next year, he might get better in Supermax, which actually might have him earning more money than Jimmy Butler, who is on contract until 2026. So your central cast is set. The one concern, because of the fact that he's had injuries riddle him at the end of each season and he's got a rookie max coming in, is Tyler Hero. That's the one to worry about.
Well, because they played better without him and they were a better team.
Even Duncan Robinson, I would say at $18 million, people are like, God, that's the worst contract. It's actually not that bad now.
It actually is still pretty bad because
it's not as bad as it was before. Now you got the, like you already said, very smartly, they got the same scenario coming up that they had with Robinson 2 years ago with Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. Same scenario. Can you keep them both? My answer is no. You're going to have to drop one of them.
You're going to have to drop one of them. And then, like I said, Duncan Robinson, yeah, he showed up in the playoffs, but during the regular season, he was completely anemic. So, yeah, your contract isn't good if it's just a high-paid guy who you hope for, something, which thankfully during the playoffs he did, but he wasn't there beforehand. So I think Miami's panicking with the – which we will get to in the draft coming up soon. But, they're the front runners supposedly for Bradley Beal. And it's just like, but they work better with nobodies.
Yeah, and I'm really curious to see which one they're able to retain. I don't think it's going to come down to, well, we kind of preferred Strus over Vincent or vice versa. I just think it comes down to the offer sheet, because it's weird. They're undrafted free agents. So you could do arenas provision with them, I guess, if they get a big offer sheet from some other team. The reason why Duncan Robinson never got one is because they literally re-signed him like at hour one or day one, and the offers never got to them. But for Strus and Vincent, one of them is going to get an offer sheet where Miami's got to seriously consider, man, are we going to match this and get close to that second apron or, quote unquote, hard cap? I'll tell you another one that's going to happen. I think Eric Spoelstra is going to get his salary bump to becoming the richest coach in the NBA salary wise. I think that's going to change.
Higher than Monty Williams?
Yes, higher than Monty Williams. He's got a lot of leverage now, man. He's gotten into the finals with Ragtags and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Not like them, Bam and Jimmy plus them twice in the last 4 years. Like, that's a feather in his cap. I don't care if they didn't win at all. That is pretty impressive. Kevin Love, we'll see. Oladipo will probably opt in because I don't know what his state will be after his second knee injury, which looked pretty horrific. And it's $9 million for a player option. So he would opt in. If he does it, a trade will probably happen. You got Caleb Martin locked in. I don't see him leaving. And then after that, they can just kind of play with it. Cody Zeller, Omer Yurtseven, Udonis Haslam's retiring. The only one who's kind of baked in is a rookie contract from someone they drafted last year, who's Nikola Jovic. No relation.
Yeah. and then their panic of why would you keep being linked to it? Why would they keep talking to these big name trades? If ultimately, like, this is one of the things, like, I think for some reason they see that Jimmy Butler window shrinking.
I don't think that's what they see. Like, I don't think that's what I forget his name all the time. The president who runs it now in Miami. He's been running it for quite a few years. Andy Ellisberg. I don't think he's seeing it. I think the talking heads of the world are saying that. Oh, Miami needs to add a star to get over the hump. They can get to the finals, but they can't go all the way without it. And I'm thinking, man, they got to the finals. Like, 1 year, they're going to get lucky where...
They got to the finals, but you kind of can't run it back with this team due to all their pieces and free agency and doing it, so... I don't.
Yeah, but they're just going to do, Adam, we talk about this all the time since we started the show. Like, they're just going to do the Sue Skyforce thing where they just find another really good undrafted.
Yeah, they will every year. But just for some reason, it could just be this year with the NBA and all the crazy pills and everything they're all taking. But it just seems a lot of panic. And with the new sales tax penalties coming in. For some reason, I just think, like, yeah, they might feel the need to jump on a Bradley Beal.
Mickey Arison's not afraid to spend. You know, he did it in the early 2010s when they had the Heatles. So, like, if they want to take a big swing, they can do it. I don't think Kyle Lowry – let me ask you this. Did you think Kyle Lowry in 2021 in the summer was a big swing, quote-unquote?
Yeah.
Because it hard-capped them? You know, they had to finagle it.
It was a big swing because it was a desperation move that – I didn't think they needed to make.
Here's the thing, though. I know some people felt like there was a point where I didn't know Lowry was on the depth chart lately. But the thing about Lowry is that when he comes off the bench and leads them, he's very valuable as a plus minus guy. He's a leader. He takes charges. He's not expired yet. You know, literally not just his contract, but his ability to play. You know, at a meaningful level, he's still a good player.
He is, but not for the money he's worth. So
true.
And age is not a kind fellow at all.
We said that on the previous show. When it expires, it's over. Like, you see it. You can literally see it on the court.
That's what I was saying, because you have 4 years of Jimmy Butler. And, you know, the last year, $52 million, he'll be 36, 37.
And I still think it's very realistic that Bam could get the veteran suit, not the, he's already on the rookie max, but the veteran one, because he really impressed me in the finals. The thing about Bam that's weird is that he always comes out of it better than I thought he was. Pretty much in every series I watch him in, even if the series is a rock fight, I always look at Bam Adebayo. I'm like, man, that dude can do it all. Like, not as a guard. He's a center slash power forward, but he's just such a well-rounded player, and he does make big plays, you know. So if he makes all NBA, that's when things are gonna get really tricky. Then you gotta let Lowry go, and then you gotta figure out how durable Hero really is, and if he's worth keeping around, and such, and then you get really, really expensive, because Butler is the key to all of it. Without Jimmy Butler, none of this works.
Correct. And so that's why it's interesting, and that's why, you know, you have with the draft so much, nobody outside of the top really 5-6 picks, nobody really cares. I think there's
a few teams that care, because I feel like there are three players that really might make a big difference for the teams that they go to. I'll say that, you know, especially number one.
I said outside of the first 6 picks.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Outside of the Thompson's twins and whatnot. But nobody's like super excited for, like, you know, Keontae George, like, oh my God, we have a chance at him at
the Baylor guard. Yeah.
You know,
here's the real intrigue. Let's just go here. It seems like Charlotte is going to go with Brandon Miller. San Antonio picked Victor Wembanyama in their dreams, like, fucking 3 years ago. They just happened to have the pick to do it. Portland. Like, I know that there's a lot of talk around, oh man, what kind of offer would they be willing to take to give up the third if somebody really wants Scoot Henderson? Like, that's where the intrigue is starting.
But now the intrigue is everybody wants Scoot Henderson. So Charlotte is like, maybe
New Orleans
we
wants
should.
Him, I know that.
They're talking themselves into it. And especially that's why it's very curious that Michael Jordan would sell his team right now.
Yeah, he sold it to minority owners. And one who I think had some stake in the Hawks. Am I saying that correct?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something so like is that, it one of those, like, maybe that new ownership's like, we need to do something. We need to trade for a big name, or it's a very curious time. And the same thing with Washington and Bradley Beal, because they want to move him really before the draft, because his value is never higher because they want to get rid of him so they can do their, you know, next plan thing.
I think you're onto something, because like Matt Ishbia, the moment the ink was dry on the deal, Kevin Durant. And it's like, okay, this guy, this is like, it's like a coach when you have, or let's go back to college sports. It's like when you have a new athletic director. Well, you want your guy. Like, and if the guy, the coach that's in there is somebody who was picked by the previous AD, you want to scorch earth and get a new one and put your stamp on it. You know, so I can see that with
Charlotte. That's why it's like, well, I thought he was going to stay through the draft and beginning of free agency and sort of be this quiet transition. But the fact that it was done now might be like, look, this new regime wants to put
they
a stamp
want,
on
it
early, like
this
you said.
Together. And they want to spend. They actually have the opportunity to spend this offseason. So we'll see what happens there. Back to number three, like they could do a lot there. There's a lot of teams that could probably land there if they throw the right star in. Lillard for the three and the three for something, absolutely, positively not.
But Portland, of course, again, this is all horribly outdated because when this drops, probably
Damian Lillard will be a wizard or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're still, we were trying to build around Dame. It does us no good to rebuild, which does make sense due to all the other rebuilding teams in the West. You can't be everybody be bad, but you know, the latest is you have them looking at number three for Kristaps for Porzingis in a sign and trade. You have Miami as the front runner for Beal. Gee, so it's like everything is going through Washington all of a sudden.
Yeah, Beal, that was the one development that happened since we last talked, which is that Beal basically said, you know what, let me talk to other teams myself with my agents and see.
No, it's ownership saying, hey, you know, I mean, you know, the new GM management, like, look, we know you're here, but
I'm trying to tell you is that Beal is being given like say so in where he goes.
Well, he has. He's the only player with
a
no trade. So
yes,
that's the perhaps you should start looking and find a trade for you. We'll work with you. And of course, the two rumor teams are Miami and Phoenix are the front runners. So it's just very, again, extremely curious.
I don't want to be too fan fiction. Okay. Because I know it's an easy trap to get into with Twitter trolls, but if the Suns pulled off Beal, Durant, and Booker, that would be hard to defeat. I'll just put it that way. It's not
perfect. It would be quite easy since Durant and Beal can't play full seasons anymore.
Well, what if they just trade off and tag in and tag out, and Booker just is the Iron Man?
That's the thing is it'll be very, but we said that when they added Durant to that team.
Yeah. I mean, I think we did talk a little bit about this when we got to them, but you know, the Chris Paul one, it looks like his days are done there. So I am really curious to see what the Suns are going to try to do. Clearly something's up. Clearly they have some plans on June 30th/July 1st where, all right, we're going to get this guy from mid-level. We're going to get this guy on minimum. Like something's up. That's all I'm going to say.
That's why I find this draft to be particularly, like, you never see big names being thrown around in draft. It's always, oh, somebody traded for a draft pick. It's not.
Yeah, and I love college basketball, even though it's an incredibly, horribly, like, cringe-inducingly flawed game. The thing is that there's a lot of players that, there's a lot of them that have intrigue. Like, Jordan Hawkins, I think, is going to be really good. Derek Lively at Duke, I think, is going to be just like Mark Williams was, you know, for the Hornets.
There will be great players. I mean, look, Desmond Bane was the 30th pick. Jimmy Butler was the 30th or 29th pick. But they don't have excitement on draft day. They develop into these great players.
Yeah. But it's just because of the fact that we watch everything now and everybody like does the Zapruder treatment on everything. Summer League. So when someone looks great in Summer League, you get really like hot and bothered, like, oh man, we got to steal. Sometimes some of those Summer League, like standout people, they wound up being good. And I remember Evan Mobley stunk in Summer League. And I was like, I think he'll still be good. And guess what? He was good. You know, it's just, it's not the end all be all if your summer league is not great. But there's just players and names. Some of them are, some of them, to be honest, Adam, are so random, I didn't watch them. Like Taylor Hendricks at UCF or G.G. Jackson at South Carolina. I didn't see these guys, you know? So there's going to be a few names that no one's ever heard of.
Like the Thompson twins. Nobody ever saw them.
Yeah, no one watched OTE games. Yeah, I mean, but they're talented. I mean, they're going to go in the top six. I mean, they're not going to go any lower than five or six, probably.
Well, it'll be interesting. And if it's interesting enough, maybe we'll be back next week.
There's
if
always
not,
something. There's always a swung deal at the last, like, on
yeah,
that
but if it's deal. Just, oh, they drafted and it was a, because they're every year it's always a letdown. Same thing. But recently, it just, there seems to be too much going on, too much in the radar and the forecast. Be like, look, there's something brewing in. Out at sea, we need
there
to,
always
need to
is the, like here's the thing, like we are hearing a lot of things like on the periphery, like Zion Williamson, you know I'm not going there with that other one, okay? He did that to himself. But the ones about, well, you know, David Griffin is talking to him, well, they might be just talking about damage control because of the thing that happened, but like I don't know if he's getting traded. That could all just be silly bullshit talk. There's a few other ones I'm trying to remember other than the Beal trade market that's coming up that people are sort of chit-chatting about, but there's going to be a lot of chatter from back channels and agents and representation saying, oh, I heard this is going to happen. Oh, this might happen. We're really not going to know until July 1st. That's when the cards come out of the sleeve and it's like, oh, okay, this is what the Suns are planning to do. This is what the Lakers are planning to do. This is how the Nuggets are going to try to stay at a championship level. Like that's when all the secrets are revealed, because you can't just keep, you can't keep your guard down going into free agency. You got to pull off what you need to pull off within the next 2 weeks. So when we reconvene, probably we're going to have a really good idea of what everyone's plans are for the 23-24 season and go from there. Let me just ask you one more question. We can go. Is there one player in the draft that you're thinking about? I know that you don't watch a lot of college basketball, but is there one that you've seen and you thought to yourself, I'll see him again someday?
No, I don't.
None. Zero. Blank slate.
No, because I don't. The draft, like, again, college basketball has passed me by. So all these names, like, I, you know, the kid from Houston, I'm like, yeah, he's good, but I'm not going to be overly
Tracy
wowed.
Walker, yeah.
I'm not overly wowed by him, but I'm not overly wowed by a lot of people. It's just how the.
You're not overly wowed by me?
Oh, well, most definitely.
Oh, that's a shame. I'll give you one. I think Jalen Hood-Scafino from Indiana is going to be a good NBA player. I'll just throw that one out there.
Because we've all had just the horrible takes and the...
Oh, that one could be a horrible take. Now, the top three, I think they're all going to be excellent players. I'll just say that right now. If you're one of those three, you're a lucky team. I know that you might not feel like you're in the best situation going into the next season, but you're getting a good player. I promise you that. You're getting a good wing, a good guard, or a center to die for.
All right, well then. For Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care, y'all.